Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. This week is Parshas Vayera. Vayera Elov Hashem. Okay. First, let me begin with a Chassidish Ha'ara. This is more of the Chassidish type of Svarim, is that this week, we lane is the same Kriya Satara for the both days of Rosh Hashanah. So it's just interesting that when you go through Rosh Hashanah, Chazal selected the Kriya Satara, Rosh Hashanah, the parsha of Vayera. The first day we read about Asara of Hashem, Pakale Sarka Omar, and with Hagar and Yishmael. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we read about the Akedah. We know that Rosh Hashanah, there are 2 days. It's Yoima Arichta. It's 2 days, which is considered to be one long day, a 48-hour halachic day, and which has major nafkaminis in halacha. Hachana, their general rules, preparing from one day to the other day, those rules are more stringent when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, because it's considered to be one long day. But what's very interesting is that when you read Rosh Hashanah, it's almost anyone that takes the parasha seriously, it's not possible not to be shaken up and be reminded of the Yom HaDin, especially about Kore. Someone who lanes on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem Pokades Sarok Hashem Amar, and then when you lend the Akedah, and people who take the davening very seriously, these are highlights of the davening. Rabbanim Hudarshim, they draw very much upon the Kriya Satara, and then when you come to Parshas Vayera, it's only a few weeks after Rosh Hashanah, Nochamol. It's a jolt. It's an aftershock. It's a shtickel aftershock from the Yimei Hadin. Not only is it an aftershock, it's a compressed aftershock. Because in Rosh Hashanah, you had 2 days. 48 hours in where we stretched out the Kriya Satara of the end of the sixth parasha. And here, bam, in 3 aliyos, on 1 Shabbos, you conquer the entire Rosh Hashanah. A different nigun, but it's the same words and the same thing. The same things come to mind. If you notice the Bali Kriya, that part of the parish they know very well. That part they know very well because that part they've already learned a few weeks ago in Rosh Hashanah, and that part in Rosh Hashanah they probably prepare a lot more for Rosh Hashanah, especially because everyone is there in Shul Rosh Hashanah, so you want to do a good job. So when it comes to Hashem Pakeh Asara, it goes 1, 2, 3. Am I correct?
Well,
for you, the whole Torah goes 1 to 3.
People, you know, sometimes I've seen about Kori, like when we have my shul, he makes mistakes on this and flummoxes me. I remember as a child,
it was Vayera and they were laning. There was a boy, it was a bar mitzvah boy. I was very little. One of my first memories of going to shul, the Lower East Side, it was a bar mitzvah boy. I remember who it was. He was laning the Akedah. And he made mistakes, and someone on the table, it was like a shtibel, on the Lower East Side, the Tzire Agudas Yisrael, is that what it's called? They call it the Tzire?
Yeah. And the Lower East Side.
Lower East Side, and there was a person there that was East Broadway East Broadway. And it was on East Broadway, and there was a person that might. I was a little kid. My first memory was of coming to shul, and he was very disturbed, and he said, "What's with this guy? The Akedah, doesn't he say it every day in davening?" And it made an impression on me, like it's like Kriya Shema. I'll tell you personally, occasionally I lane. I am the most frightened to lane Kriya Shema. Not because of any religious reason. Pure. Because if you make a mistake in Kriya Shema, you make a mistake, it says, what's with him because of this memory? What is with this guy? Doesn't he say Kriya Shema twice a day? Shouldn't he know Kriya Shema on his fingertips? How can you be so foolish to make a mistake in Kriya Shema? So this person, he said, like, he was very disturbed. How can he make a mistake in the Akedah? Doesn't this guy say the Akedah every single day? So now that I grew, now many years later, I think, what's so bad? How many people do I know say the Akedah every single day? And a bar mitzvah boy, a 13-year-old boy, 14-year-old boy say the Akedah every single day? How many? I can't even count them on my fingers. So it's interesting. Then it was like, wow, Dover Poshet. What a chil Hashem! What a bizoid for this boy! He made a mistake in the Akedah when he should have been saying the Akedah every single day. He should know this Balpeh, like you know Kriya Shema. you get a little bit older, what's not so terrible. Okay, but the point over here is that it is the Balei Musar. I do not know whether I'm just trying to throw this out as a Hakdama, is that when you learn Parshas Vayera, a person should be awakened. A person should be awakened that there is a pekida. It's also a minor Rosh Hashanah. If the Hashkocha is that we learn Vashem Pokal Esara and we learn the Akedah, it's a message. Rosh Hashanah was not so long ago. Person has a tendency. Listen, we got through Rosh Hashanah. Until we get to Elul, it's smooth sailing. Till we get to a time of the year when there's a Yom HaDin, you know, now is the time of the year when the person, the complacency begins to settle in. In Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we go through Sukkot, we're on a high. Okay, so it takes a little bit of time to wear off. Bereishis, the new beginning, Noach, Lech Lecha, now is the time in the year where a person begins to smite and say, you know, it's time to think about vacation. Where am I going to go? What's going to be? Mincha, we're changing the clock now. Do I really have to have a mincha every day with a minion? Maybe yeah, maybe not. Now, it's only natural, a month after Rosh Hashanah, a person becomes complacent with his religious experiences. And therefore, it is by design that now, nothing happens by accident, Hashkocha Pratis, Hashem says, don't think you've escaped. Don't think you've got through your Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, everything is good and fine. You have to be on guard every single moment. Parshas Vayera is a rerun. It's a rerun of the Yimei HaDin. It's a polite reminder. The year has just started. Don't sink into a degree of complacency. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Rav Eliashiv, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, besides being known to be a Goyin Sheba Goyinim in Halacha and Lamdis and Shas and Paiskim, was also a 5-star Darshan. He was a 5-star Darshan, and they put out many Bechayev in his lifetime. That someone put out Shiurim in Agoda. It's called Divrei Agoda that he said to Balabatim 50 years. Now it's already 60 years ago. Before he was known to be Rabbi Yashav, he used to give a shiur in Chumash Balabatim. Some of the things he says there are out of this world. You don't have people today that can say such a powerful drush. So I want to tell you one little teeny little glimpse of this koyach. We have here in this week's parasha, like a short little thing that he just, not even part of the main theme, he just said this as an afterthought. But it's a very sharp, sharp observation. Avram Avinu, he greets the Malachim, and he tells them, "Look, come in, let me prepare." Pasuk says that he took for them, he slaughtered Ben Bokar. V'yel ha-bokar rotz Avraham, v'yikach Ben Bokar, rach v'toy, v'yitein alanar, v'yimher la'asay so-so. Rashi says, what does it mean he took a Ben Bokar? Rach v'toy, gimul parim hayu. Can you imagine he slaughtered 3 full cows? Do you know how much that cost to slaughter 3 full cows? In order to give each one of these malachim of his guests, to give them a tongue, a whole tongue. Kidei la'achilam gimel l'shoynes b'chardel with mustard. Okay, so what does this mean? We learn as children, tongue and mustard. Okay, your tongues are water. What is tongues and mustard? Rabbi Yashav says it's a Musar Haskel in these words, tongue with mustard. It was the minig of, who is he giving this to? He's giving this to who we thought were our voyim, Arabs, nomads, people that were just wanderers. That's later.
Arabs that all came about.
They came later. So it means Arabs, people that just nomads, people that were wanderers, people that he had to suspect they worshipped the dust of their feet. My high, what's going on over here? People that worship the dust of their feet are worthy of receiving a gift that cost Avram. In today's day and age, a parah is thousands of dollars. You're going to slaughter 3 parah just to extract their tongue and serve them their tongue. And why? That's, you tell me, the best part of the meat. What's with the mustard? Not everyone likes mustard. Mustard is a million-billion-dollar industry. But not everyone is so crazy about mustard. It's not the first condiment you would think. So he says as follows. We know from the Medrash, what was the custom of Avraham Avinu? When a guest would come to his home, he would open the doors wide and he would go out of his way to provide them a comment of food and drink, and in between each course he would engage them in conversation. and he would talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he would talk about the world. And finally, after giving them good food and drink and discussion, it would come time to leave. The guest would say, "Okay, what's the bill?" "No, waiter, give me the bill." Avraham Avinu would say, "There's no charge, provided you recite Birchas Hamazon." Or when they would say, "Give me the bill," he would provide them with the Birchas Hamazon. Try that today in a restaurant. I asked them, "Give me the bill." I didn't ask for the bill. I asked for the bill. This is the Birchas Hamazon, right? That's if it's so. Avraham was, if you will recite Birchas Hamazon, you will thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's free. Because you have to recognize, it's not you, the food is not mine. Hashem created the world. Hashem gave it to me to give to you, to serve Hashem. If you don't want to recite Birchas Hamazon, you do not want to have this recognition, come to recognition that it's Hashem's world, then, alright, then I'll charge you for three tongues. Three tongues will cost $10,000. Three animals, you'll have to pay three, plenty of money for what I've given you. So the koyach of Avram was when the people they sat, they listened to Avram, they were impressed. This dialogue, the conversation, and the message that Avraham left them, it lasted a lifetime. It made an impression. Avraham served his guests tongue with mustard. The meal, the hospitality can be summarized a sharp tongue. A conversation. It wasn't just the food he served them. What did they walk away when they left Avraham Avinu? What did they walk away? What did they? Well, the food goes in the stomach and out the stomach. What did they go away? They walked away. We had tongue with mustard. We had a tongue is a code word for a conversation, and it was a stinging conversation. It was sharp. It wasn't say tongue with honey. Okay, they didn't dip. I'm sure there are recipes for tongue and honey, but that's not what the that. It was tongue with mustard. Mustard is sharp. It is by nature.
It's a sharp.
It's thing. Of course.
I thought because they put the spices good, in it.
No, mustard by nature is sharp. That's the mustard is what's sharp. That's the sugi with the chardel. The bees in the chardel. Sugi b'mbasra. The famous sugi of the chardel. The sugi is that the bees which are producing honey. They eat. They're hungry. They eat the mustard, and the mustard ruins their koyach to produce honey. The message the guest took out of leaving Avram's presence was, he served me tongue with mustard. It was a stinging conversation. The message, his words were sharp. They affected my neshama. That's the Musar Haskel, the drush of why Chazal Rashi goes out of his way to say he served them gimel l'shoinois b'chardol. Each malach, each guest, I have a different message, a different message for you. For you, I have this message. For you, there is this message. For you, there is this message. Everyone who came into the home of Avram received a custom tailored message for them based upon their degree of spirituality. Okay, now let's go to another short idea. We have here three malachim. Someone asked me this question. The question is better than any answer you can give. Three malachim come to Avram. One malach is coming to destroy Sodom. One malach is coming to heal Avram. And one malach is coming to reveal to so that you will have a child. Now, the malach that healed Avram turned. He then took on a new role. He went to Sodom to save Lot. The malach that revealed to Sarah that she would have a child went home. I've done my mission accomplished. I've come here to reveal to Sarah that she will have a child. The mission accomplished. So the malach went to Shammai. The other two malachim went on their merry way. Question is, the malach that came to destroy Sodom, why did he have to come to Avram? The mission was to destroy Sodom. So go straight to Sodom. Go to Sodom, and the malach that will heal Avram, he will has a double mission. He'll heal Avram, then he'll get a new mission to go to heal, to save Lot. He'll then go to Sodom, and he'll meet in Sodom the malach that's there to destroy Sodom. Will meet up with the malach that was sent to save Lot. Why? But that's now malachim. They come for a very specific mission. They don't have to go. There's no stopovers. Malachim get direct flights. There are no stopovers. stopovers. Angel Airline does not have stopovers. This is a mitzvah. What?
The connection was maybe Avraham should be in physical fit condition, mentally and physically, to pray for Sodom.
So, but it says in the pasuk that Hashem was the one who revealed to that was the malach who healed Avram. That has nothing to do with the malach of destroy Sodom. There was a malach that came to heal Avram. There was a
malach came that Avram should be able to be Avnosazar. The other ones had a purpose to come. They weren't guests; they were messengers. They were
the Rashi says there was only one reason.
The malach didn't have a purpose.
Yeah.
With Avram. That was Achnas Arkham.
Doesn't say that. The other two would have been the recipients of Achnas Arkham. The other two would have been the recipients of Avram's Achnas Arkham. The Amalek that was sent to destroy Sodom, if you were setting the rules, you would say, listen, here's a ticket to Sodom, go to Sodom and do your job. No stopovers. It's a very simple question. So the Mefarshim deal, but I think there's a very simple answer to this question. The answer is Rashi actually says this. When Hashem said to the Malach, Hashem said to the Malachim Hashem, we're going to destroy Sodom. Hashem said, Erdono vere, hakitzakoso haboy lai osu koma. We're not going to destroy Sodom until we see exactly firsthand if the evil that they perpetuate is correct. You can't, a Dayan is not allowed to exercise Mishpat until he makes a thorough investigation. To make a thorough investigation is not just enough to see the evidence. You have to understand the evidence. The Malach that went to Sodom, what was the primary chait of Sodom? They were wicked people. The primary chait from Chazal is Mashma. They did not, they were they lacked hospitality.
Inhospitable.
They were inhospitable.
Anti-chesed.
What is the example Chazal give? Veriva. There was a young girl who gave tzedakah. There was a poor man who came to town. And this poor man was loitering, was lingering around. And he was there, weaker, and everyone, don't worry, he'll starve to death. There was no homeless problem in Sodom. Because the homeless starved to death. It only took, how long could a person survive without food and drink? No one, the law was, no one is allowed to provide food and shelter for a homeless individual. So, after a few days and weeks, the person would die, his body would decay, and there would not be a problem. There was a collector, there was a poor homeless man that was there day after day after day, week after week, and he didn't die. When is this guy already going to starve to death? So they launched an investigation. It must be that there's someone secretly in this community that is feeding the homeless individual. And they made an investigation and they discovered there was a young girl, a Riva young girl, that secretly was handing this poor homeless man loaves of bread, leftover bread. So they put her on trial, they executed her, they smeared her body with honey, and the beast came to eat it. The beast came to eat her up alive. The creatures came to eat her up alive. Hashem in Shemayim, and this girl, when she was put to death, she cried. Her cry reached heaven. Hashem said, I'm not just going to go and destroy the city based upon this report. I have to go down to the city myself to see and examine the evidence firsthand to determine if they are deserving of destruction. So we learned this principle. We have this principle in many places.
Isn't that the final straw, though?
Yes, but that was the final straw because, as you said correctly, the attitude, the culture of Sodom was anti-chesed. The Malach that's coming to destroy Sodom, you know, when you do your mission, there are different ways to do the mission. You can do the mission with Zrizus, and you can do the mission without emotion. You can do a shvacha job and do the mission. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu will send the Malach to destroy Sodom for their chait of anti-chesed. Hashem said, first you have to be trained, you have to know what is chesed. You first have to go to the home. It's all part of the same mission. Hashem first sent the Malach to destroy Sodom on a training mission. Right. You have to be properly trained in Chesed. If you want to know what Chesed is, go to Avram. Right. Spend the day in the home of Avram. You'll now have an appreciation of what Chesed is. Mm. Then when you go to Sodom to destroy Sodom, only now we will be able to make a proper evaluation of the degree of wickedness that is present in Sodom to properly exercise Mishpat in this, in your designated location. So it's not a stopover. It's all part of the same mission. So we have to, I'm starting to suggest that the Malach to some degree is given a koyach of how to bring out the gezerah. The Malach will the different ways to destroy Sodom. How much dynamite are you gonna use? Gofris, Sumelach, Shreva, Cholarza. There are different dargois of Churbin. He has to be prepared. And it's a Musar Haskell for us to learn from. That whenever a person is in a position to exercise judgment, you just can't look at the evidence. And you look at the laws. You have to really understand fully what is taking place. He took credit. That's he took credit for himself. It doesn't mean he didn't have. So why Taka did he say make that statement? Because to some degree, I'm suggesting that he does have a koyach. It's just that don't take the credit for yourself. The fact that he made such a statement is an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give him a degree of koyach. Just you went a little bit too far. You got a little bit proud, a little bit arrogant. The Musar Haskel is whenever a person is in a situation of power. Every person has power, whether it's among your family, among students, in business, in parnasa. You always a gabbai of a shul. You always have a koyach over other people. You have koyach. You have the power to punish, to reward. It's dangerous because when you're exercising the power, just because on the laws, on the books, it says A, B, and C, you have to have an appreciation of what you're doing, or don't get and be in that business. The Malach who destroyed Sodom, it was given permission, it was given the rights. These are the laws. The Gezer was handed down, but it was not allowed to exercise the judgment until it itself had a full appreciation of what Chesed is by being in the home of the master of Chesed before going on to actually to destroy Sodom. Not according to the Madrega of Avraham Avinu, absolutely not. But it was destroyed because it lacked Chesed.
Avraham Avinu, he was the Chesed. Everybody else.
Let me ask you a similar question.
Well, you got to answer.
You can go. There are different. You can go to medical school. You can go to Harvard, or you can go overseas to a medical school that no one ever heard of in Africa. Okay, you have a person that has the common cold, the common cold, a simple little cold. Which doctor do you want to go to? The one that got his medical degree in Zimbabwe, or the doctor who got his degree in Harvard? Even though I'm not coming for complicated surgery, I'm coming for something very simple. You still want to go to the very best, because the person who has the very best education, he sees your common cold different. Who knows? Maybe it's not such a common cold. Maybe there's something more complex. So that's the answer to your question. Just because you're going to destroy some and stum on the books, they're the anshes chatoim v'rom l'Hashem me'od. Because Avram is the Harvard of Chesed. Avram is the Harvard of Chesed.
Based on Avram.
Not based upon Avram. Avram is the Harvard of training. Once you have that training, then you make a proper assessment. Not even the simplest case. It's the proper evaluation. Yeah.
Rashi seems to focus. I know I'm part of Latar, but Rashi seems to focus a little bit not on the destruction part of them, but on the saving part. In fact, Rashi's lost.
Lot was the one who saved.
No, but Rashi says, and I'm quoting Rashi, Paul Sharafa Hashem Lahatsos Light. And Sifse Chum says that the tie-in between Refuah and Hatzalah is very close.
Right, but that's the one that healed. That's a different Malach. That is a different Malach. Refoil is the one who saved Lot. Refoil. It's a different Malach.
Another Malach who went to destroy
Gabriel.
That's another idea you're touching upon. The Malach who healed. There was a Malach who was sent to Avram to heal Avram.
And where did he go?
He went to save Lot.
And then there was another Malach.
And then there was another Malach whose goal was to destroy Sodom. Yes, of these three. There's a Malach who came to Avram. So what's he doing there? What are you doing here? The Malach who came to Mivasa Sarah, I understand. The Malach who came to heal Avram, I understand. The Malach that's here to destroy Sodom, it's the wrong address. What are you doing here? Goes to Sodom. You want company? Malachim are lonely? No such thing. Go straight to Sodom to do your mission. So the answer is, it's part of the mission. Part of the mission is training to know what Chesed is, because it's teaching us a Musar Haskel. You cannot exercise mishpat until you fully understand the depth, the nature of the chet. To understand the nature of the chet of being anti-chesed, you have to know the meaning of chesed. To know the meaning of chesed, you need training. The training is by Avram. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah.
Taking a step back, you spoke of the sharp tongue. Is the sharp tongue an antithesis of chira or antithesis of chesed?
No, why? Sharp tongue is the ideal form of kiruv.
But if I had people and I wanted to do kiruv with them, would I exercise a sharp?
Sharp doesn't mean bitter. Sharp means something to think about, an experience that remains with you, a positive experience. Clever. Sharp means clever. Sharp, smart, clever, something, an experience that you will take with you. Yes. Well, it's something you will remember.
Triggers an emotion.
Trigger. Something that will trigger an emotion. It's a beautiful idea for Rabbi Yashiv. You feed your guests, your Shabbos guests, a sharp tongue. The experience, provoking experience, is something that you want them, that your guests, to take with you. Okay, let's go to another idea. The following idea.
Are you attributing malachim human capabilities? Because malach shouldn't chesed just do whatever.
No, we do attribute. We do attribute what? Human characteristics to malachim. We do, because we learn from malachim. The malachim, they are mashalim for us. Yes, the malachim are in the image of man. Yes, we do attribute human characteristics to malachim. Okay, let's go to another idea. The following idea, I think, is a very deep idea. It shook me up. I had to come back to it to really understand deeper what was written. It's in a new sefer by Rabbi Eliyahu Schlesinger. Eliyahu Schlesinger in Eretz Yisrael is a rav, he's a poisek, he's a very big personality. He's a Talmud Chacham that is beyond our understanding. He wrote many, many svarim. He's one of the biggest darshanim in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eliyahu Schlesinger. There are many Schlesingers, all part of the Schlesinger family. This one, his name is Rabbi Eliyahu, I think it's Eliyahu David Schlesinger. He wrote many svarim on the parasha, and he put out recently a new sefer. So he says here a very, very deep idea in Stum. What was the chait of Stum? Define the essence of the chait of Stum. So Chazal tell us, the essence is zenene v'zelei chasar. Actually, it's referred to the Makarfa, zenene chasar comes in the pasuk where the people of the city, when they came to Lod and they said, who are these people? He said, they've come al ki al kein bohu bitzel koirasi. The shade of your roof is zenene v'zelei chasar. If a person comes to your home and he raids the refrigerator, right, or he uses the facilities, it's chosar. Got to pay the water bill. He used up some tissues. He raided the refrigerator, so he consumed some of your groceries. So that's zenene v'zeh chosar. But if a person comes into your home on a hot day and he just wants to sit under the awning, like today they have all the people, those older people, they sit on the shade, and they sit in front of people's steps. This one will enjoy the shade. It's a shot. Some people don't like it. Some people are upset. Why are these older people sitting and they're blocking the traffic? They're sitting on the sidewalk in front of people's houses. It's really a shot of zen nene v'zele chosar. What are they bothering you? They're causing you a loss, so let them sit there. Zen, they're loitering. Are they dangerous? They're not dangerous. We all know they're not dangerous. They're sitting and they're talking. You don't like them. You don't like them sitting and talking. You should be happy. They're washing your house for you. Zen nene zen nene. It's not a joke. It's really not a joke. Zen nene v'zele chosar. Ki al kein ba'u bitzel koirasi. They have come under the shade of my beam. Enjoying the shade of my beam does not cost me a ki hu zeh. It is not a loss to society. And yet, the people who lived in Stone, they objected even to this. This is the meat of zen nene, v'zeh loichosar, midas sinam. That is the simple understanding of the wickedness of Stone, anti-chesed. But Rav Schlesinger says something much deeper. He focused on the pasuk, very deep pasuk. Hashem says to the malachim, no, let's go down and investigate. Let's check out the evidence. Hakit sa'akoso. Habo'o elai osu kolo. It's a very difficult expression to translate. Hakitsa akosa means like the cry of the victim. Habo'o, that is coming, that is ascending elai osu. Is it true? Did they really do what? Did it really happen? And if it is true, Kola, I will bring an end. I will destroy this city. So Rashi explains the pasuk that the Haketzak Asah basically means the cry of the victims. In this case, we're referring specifically to the victim of this one girl, a Medrash. There was a girl who gave tzedakah to a poor man, and she was executed, and her body was smeared with honey, and bees and other rodents came and ate her up. So she cried as she was put to death. Hashem heard her cry. Hashem now is coming to the center to make an investigation. Is this cry asu? Did they really do this? Did they really commit this horrible crime? And if the answer is yes, kala. And the question is, what are you talking about? If the girl is crying, it's obvious that they did the crime. In the Pshut Shel Mikra, you can translate the Pshut Shel Mikra, you can make it make sense, but it's too pashat. How do you know, someone says to the child, how do you know he's going to hit you? Because he did hit me. I don't know if I remember the exact words of this little marshal, but the point is, if the girl is crying, it is obvious that the crime has been committed. There's no such thing as fake tears when it comes to torture. Something along those lines. So what does it mean? So Rabbi Schlesinger says it means something. Exactly. So why does Hashem have to go down to investigate? Yes, what's going on here? So you'll say sometimes people, they cry when they're not really victims. They just want to take advantage of the situation. Or sometimes people, they're victims, but they cry too much. They cry too much. So Hashem, I want to make sure that the cry is correlates the cry. Is not exaggerated. The cry is proportional to the crime. That's a simple interpretation. Hakitzak asa is equivalent to the asu. These are different interpretations, but Rav Schlesinger has a very different interpretation. He says as follows. In society, sometimes, this is a healthy society. Every healthy society will always have rotten apples. There's no such thing as having a perfect society. Everyone's a tzaddik. Every society in the world has a police force, has a prison system. There are always people that go commit crimes. That's the way the world is. And everyone who did not commit, the people who, if there's a criminal, then there are victims. A healthy society has criminals and victims. That's the way it is. Criminals and victims. You're either in one category or the other. There's no in between. I don't mean that. Basically, you're in one or the other. If you have a society where everyone is both a criminal and a victim, a perpetrator, an aggressor, and a victim, you're in trouble. Now, how do you have such a society where everyone is both a criminal and a victim? When a person becomes a victim of a crime, you use it as an opportunity to learn how to commit a crime.
Or retaliation.
Not retaliation. Schlesinger really focuses on retaliation. But I don't want to go there. Let's just take the general idea. For example, a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is robbed. His home is robbed. How do they rob my house? I have locks, I have windows, I have an alarm system. And then you analyze how the burglars broke in. Goinus! Wow! These guys are geniuses. They're geniuses. So you call the police, and you pull out all the cameras, and you do everything you can possibly can. You call your politicians, and you go and you scream, Haketzakosa. You cry such a loud cry, the whole world, it's on the headlines of the news of what happened to you. You're a victim. I was abused. I was a victim. I suffer. And you make it known to the world, and you want retribution, and you want justice. But in the process, very interesting, I've learned quite a bit about how to pull it off, how to commit a crime. And you know what? After everything settles down, the dust settles, I'm going to improve upon the crime. The Ganef was brilliant, but he made this little mistake. That's why he was caught. So now, when everything quiets down, I will go and be the criminal, and I will make his mistake. I'm going to use my experience of being a victim as an opportunity to be a criminal to rob someone else. That is a very sick society. When everyone in society, that's what America is becoming like, to some degree. When everyone is just using the laws as a way to take advantage, I'm a victim. But being a victim now opens up my eyes how I can take advantage of someone else. When you have a society where every victim is also a criminal, And every criminal is a victim. That's the end. There is no hope for such a society. That type of society has to be obliterated. Gofris for Eish, Shreitha Chol Arza. There's no hope for such a society. Hashem says, rumors have it that Sodom is deserving of obliteration. The only time we obliterate a society is only when everyone in society is both a victim and a criminal. Hakitza akosa haboho elai osu. Is it true? This is how he interprets the pasuk. Is it true that the people who are crying, the people who are screaming, they're crying, they're also the osu. They've used the experience of being hakitza akosa haboho elai as an opportunity, as a means to be also from the category of the osu to also do the crying.
But there's a problem with that, because let's take this example of the girl that's mentioned that gave to God.
Okay, that's a pshat, that's pashup pshat. This is a drush. He's bothered. Why was Sodom suffer the fate that even the generation of Noach did not suffer? Noach, the Dor HaMabul, there was a Mabul, they were given an opportunity, they could do tshuva, he built a teva for 120 years, the Mabul, the water came down slowly, and then they can still do tshuva, and they were swept away. It wasn't with such a ferocity of Sodom, a complete obliteration. The answer is because in the time of Noach, there were victims and there were criminals. There were more criminals than there were victims. So Hashem said, "Ki hishchas kol bosar adar kol aretz." There was chamas. There were criminals, but there were victims. The victims didn't turn into the criminals. But when you have a sick society, when you're a victim, and then you start thinking, "Oh, I'm a victim, so let me use this as an opportunity to be a criminal, to use it to my advantage." That's sickness. That is no hope for such a society. And Rachman al-Islam, you read sometimes the news, you read some stories in the news, it's very frightening. You see stories like this in society, where people who are victims, and they use, now you don't go to the extreme, the example that I've given you, but they, whenever a person uses being a victim as an opportunity to take advantage and do something that otherwise you would not have the chutzpah to do, that borders upon hakitza akasa, haboho elai, the people who are crying, and the cry that is coming to me, those same people also are the same people who are doing the same averos.
Police themselves, they know all the tricks.
Exactly. But when you have a whole society like this, this is the popular approach to life. The popular approach to life is to take advantage of everything. Take advantage. Whatever you can take advantage of, like we learned yesterday in Kohelas, you are then in a lot of trouble. Okay, that's Rav Shlosh. Let's go to another idea. We find here that Lot, this week's parasha, accomplished something even Avram Avinu could not accomplish. Avram Avinu was mispal. Hashem says to Avram, I have bad news to tell you, I'm going to destroy Sodom, and because you're a tzaddik, and because your children, you are going to be Av Hamon Goyim, I have to let you know. I have to inform you, it's your world. It's a very beautiful pasuk. Hashem is telling Avram, you know, it's your world. I've given this world to you, you're the boss here, so I have to let you know that I have posted an eviction notice for the people of Sodom. Avram says, don't destroy them, maybe we can find some solution, maybe there are 50 tzaddikim. That's a pretty tall order to find 50 tzaddikim. Try to find one tzaddik. Okay, 50 tzaddikim. Sorry, there are no 50 tzaddikim. 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. There are not even 10 tzaddikim. Rashi tells us Avram made a cheshbon, the Dor HaMabul, there were 10 tzaddikim. There were 8 tzaddikim, and that didn't work. So therefore, if 10 is not going to be good enough, 10 is the same thing as 9, because for men you only need 9. Taisvis, Rebbe Natan, the Gemara says you only need 9, and 9 is also enough. Hashem is mitzvareif, so therefore he gave up. Okay, so what happened? Stone was destroyed. The Malachim come to Stone, they tell Stone, we're here to save you, we come to Lot, we're here to save you, take your wife, your children, and they escape. And then Stone says, no, Lot says, there are 5 cities in Sodom. One of the most modern, the most recent city that was established was Tzoar. Do me a favor, don't destroy Tzoar. even though that was part of the plan, you're going to destroy all five cities of Sodom, leave Tsoar alone, let me live in Tsoar, because your plan is to take me back to Avram Avinu. If I go back to Avram Avinu, I'm going to be in bad company, because relative to Avram, I'm a Rasha, Hashem will get me there, I can't live nowhere, I can't live out in the forest, so let me live in this city called Tsoar. It's a good city, they have all of the services that a modern person would need, and they're not so bad. So the Malach says, okay, Gam Nasasi, we have forgiven the people because of your request. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. Avraham Avinu was Mispalel. Was being mispalled with full heart and soul. He couldn't save even one person. He couldn't save. And here Lot was no tzaddikal. Okay, Lot, what is he doing living in Sodom to begin with? He's no tzaddikal. And Lot says to the Malach, do me a favor, Tsoyar, you know, you don't have to destroy Tsoar. It must have been a major city. There must have been thousands of people in Tsoar. We don't know how big Tsoar was, but it was a city. We're dealing over here with a whole city. We're dealing with a lot of people. And none of them were tzaddikim, because if they were tzaddikim, then they would not have been destroyed. Avram Avinu already made that pledge. And just because Lot is mispalel, and he's mispalel klachayad, he just says, listen, I don't want to go to Avram. It's too dangerous. Let me read you the exact words of the pasuk. Mm-hmm. The word, Vayi b'shaches v'yalom, he went to Tsoar. Vatomer, no, that's Lemgulungul. Here it is. I can't go back to Avram Avinu. What has been Kroiva? It's been only recently established. Their sins have not yet reached the level where they have to be destroyed. It's small. We're not going to destroy the city. What in the world is going on? What Avraham Avinu could not accomplish through his righteousness, through his intense tefillah of standing by Mokam in Koiveya Mokam the tefillah and begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lot is able to accomplish just like that, to save one fifth of Sodom. It's a pella. So the simple answer is that ainu doimer when the choyla is mispalel to when someone else is mispalel. Avraham was being mispalel for outsiders. He's mispalel tzaddik me. I'm a tzaddik, even though you're very. But I don't really feel your pain because I have nothing to do with you. It's not my community. It's not my environment. I don't really relate to you. I can be mispalel theoretically and pray. But Lot, this is my city. This is my life. These are my people. I'm the governor of the whole stone. We have five boroughs. Which one did he save? Was it Brooklyn? Was it Manhattan? Queen, which one did he save? Probably the Bronx, right? What did he say? This is my city. I'm the mayor. Could you imagine the mayor getting up and saying, "Ainu doimer," the mayor praying for his city, then a politician, John Kerry, will be mispalel not to destroy New York. What does John Kerry care about in New York? The mayor, de Blasio, okay. K. Giuliani, Bloomberg, it's my city. This is my city. It's a different tefillah. You don't need to go El Amokay Masha Omacham with the kavias. You just give a krechs, and already it's a done deal. That is the pashup shot in the pasuk. That is why Lot was able, because when it's nogea to you, when it affects you yourself, it's yours. Then it's very easy to be mispelled to accomplish very great things. But there's a deeper idea. The deeper idea, and this is a very powerful idea. And this really opens up a whole new mahalach in the krech tefillah. There's a fundamental difference in the approach to tefillah between Avraham Avinu and Lot. Avraham Avinu said, "Ribbono shel Olam, save the whole stone because there are tzaddikim." There are 50 tzaddikim, there are 40, 30, 20, there are tzaddikim. There's at least a couple of people that are 100%. And those people who are 100% in their merit, everyone should be saved. Lot said to the Malach, to Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, there's not even one tzaddik in this city. I guarantee you. You won't find even one tzaddik. But yet, They're not such big sinners. Mm-hmm. His approach was the chatoim are not that bad. It's a different.
Well, they can do tshuva.
He didn't say they can do tshuva. He says kroivahi. The people, this city has only been established recently. They have not yet reached a level of chait. They have not matured. What? Yes, it was saved.
So why did I go up to the mountain?
Because that's what Rashi says. Even after he was in Tzohar, he still was afraid. The plan didn't go work. He went to Tzohar. And he was still afraid. He just doesn't matter. He originally still left in Tzar because he was still afraid of being in Tzar. But the original plan was, I'm going to live in Tzar. After Tzar was said, and he lived there for a short period of time, he just didn't like it. He wasn't comfortable. He wasn't comfortable because they were talking about the news. The whole place. How come you Lot survived? Everyone else died. How come you got out? Did you have something to do with it? Maybe you're the one who pulled the button, who pressed the button to destroy it. So he wasn't comfortable, so he left. But the point, Lot had a different approach to tefillah. His approach is Ribbono Shel Olam, every single person here is a Rasha, but they're not such bad Rishayim. They've not matured. The chatoim, they're not on lachachis. The tinuk shenishba. It's a different approach. That approach was successful. It's Hafle Vefela. Avram's approach is there are a couple of pure tzaddikim, and in the merit of the few tzaddikim, everyone should be saved. Lot says there are no tzaddikim. Everyone's a Rasha. But you have to go and analyze the chet. You have to be mispalta HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I didn't mean to do the Avera. That's a very dangerous idea, because people, believe me, people mean to do us. They mean to do it very well, the harm very well. But that was his approach. Kroivihi. They're sinners, but they're sinning out of foolishness. They're not sinning lahachis. They're not sophisticated enough that you can view them as being outright wicked people.
Teenagers.
And this worked. And this worked. Who came from Lot? Melech HaMashiach. What are we waiting for today, Bizman Hazeh? We're waiting for Mashiach. Bizman Hazeh, when we are Mispal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Gula, what should be our approach? Should our approach be Ribbono Shel Olam, there are a few tzaddikim out there in the world. We can name a few tzaddikim, there are a few hidden tzaddikim. And in there is, of course, the Gantz of El. He should save, redeem the world. The world is, there's a churban that's coming to this world. We all see the world is in a state of self-destruct. And we need to save the world. So we could take two approaches. We could take the approach of Avram, save the world in the merit of the tzaddikim, people who sit and learn the whole day. That's required. No one's denying the fact. You need both. Maybe Lot only worked in combination. Maybe Lot's koich hatfila only worked in combination with Avram. Maybe that has to be taken into account. They're at tzaddikim. But part of the equation, without question, is even the wicked people, the people who are chatoim, you have to be malame zuchus. They did averos, granted, but there's room for improvement. The averos were not committed lahachis. You have to take that approach. This is what we need to bring Mashiach, because Lot is the koyach of Mashiach.
This is on the Babaja. They send out shlichim to the area that is completely waste, while
they're trying to rehabilitate that.
People send out a payload. Once you have a
kailo,
they build.
Okay, okay. You're saying very interesting. There are two. You need a combination of them both. To bring Mashiach, you have to come on to the koich of Lot. Kroivihi mitzar. There's still hope. There's still something we can do to save these inshallah.
Could have gone over. Ramadan could have said, "I'm going to Sodom." So he wouldn't destroy it, but he didn't do that because.
Okay, we don't know all the details, but two. Just want to make this point: two different approaches to tefillah.
And the other four fifths of Sodom.
His wife would have agreed to move.
It didn't work.
There's a limit to what you can do. There's a limit. He said that this particular city was recently established. It was a year, so they did not mature to a degree of sin where they deserve complete destruction. Why didn't Avram think of that? Why didn't Avram think of the same solution? Avram had a different approach. He had a different approach. Both approaches are valid, but sometimes one works and one does not work. When we are trying to bring Mashiach, Bizman Hazeh, in the same scenario, it's interesting to focus, not to forget about the approach of Lot. And after all, Lot is the ancestor, is the Makar of the Melech HaMashiach.
What do we know about David's mother?
What?
What do we know about David's mother?
Bathsheba, what about her?
David's mother.
Oh, David's mother, Shlomo, that was...
Ishai's wife.
Ishai's wife. Do we know anything?
Yeah, we do know. The Midrash, we do know about her. We do know things about her. Okay, we'll do a different time.
She's the other half of the...
Yes, okay.
Also, here's the concept. Tafasta, Merubah, Lo Tafasta. Avraham was trying to save the entire Sodom. The Lord said, we'll take a look.
It's more than that. It's Avram was focusing on Tzadikim. Tzadikim Gemurim. Lord is focusing on Rishoyim. But Kroivahi, they're not such bad Rishoyim. A very different approach to be Mulamid Zuchus, to save the community. And again, Lod, from Lod comes Mashiach. Hashem took Lod and brought Lod into Klal Yisrael through his daughter, through Amon Moav, Naaman Rus. They became the Melech HaMashiach. So it goes to show that the Koyach of Lod is a necessary ingredient in Klal Yisrael.
See all the advantage that Avram saved. Didn't stay at the end.
And that was before. And that was before.
By night,
okay.
Stay.
Okay, let's go to...
If someone was saying, what's the most important thing that was the end of the world? And they left.
That's another discussion. Why? So some say, some learn, I think maybe Rav Schwab says that they knew the world was... They knew the world... There were plenty of survivors. They knew that no one would want to marry them for themselves. Who would want to marry them? Because they were part of Lot, so they were looking to marry their father just for themselves, not because the world was destroyed. They could not possibly find a shidduch, so they did something which in that time was not viewed to be necessarily
unacceptable.
Different times. A lot of mafarshim they did l'shem shemayim, and they lived in different times where father and daughter were not viewed in the world. The Torah wasn't given yet to be incest, to be forbidden. They were not part of a
even quite a lot of shem. Ben Noach's allowed to have
relationship. No, he's not. So shem.
Rabbi Mechai says it's a middle. It's a disgusting middle, but it's not a.
It's not from the okay. So see that even the guy.
A father with a mother with a son.
Yeah,
is also, but not
father
a,
daughter.
Not a daughter. So, yeah,
okay.
Not
okay.
Father,
so you saw this. Okay. Okay. Let's go to another idea. Let's go to another idea. We have here in this week's parasha a very important limud on Yirah Shemayim. This week's parasha is all about Yirah Shemayim. Ki ato yedati ki yirela ki matav lechasach nisbin chasichitcha limen Yirah Shemayim. But before we come to the Yirah Shemayim of Avraham Avinu, we learn about the negative form of Yirah Shemayim. When Avimelech takes Sarai, Sarah, what?
Which Yirah Shemayim we talk about? After the Akedah.
Okay, let's discuss. We're discussing the other one. The one in the beginning of the parasha, when Avimelech, Avram comes to the land of Pelishtim, and Vayisa Avram, Misham Avram Arza HaNege, Vayesha Ben Kodesh Ben Shur, Vayogar Bigrar. So Avram says to Sarah, let's play this game again. I want you to tell the people that you are my brother. Avimelech gets a hold of her. He takes her. Hashem comes to Avimelech in a dream and says, you're going to die. Okay. And then we go on. He wakes up in the morning, Vayom, and he wakes up in the morning and he tells the servants, Vayashkim Avram Avimelech Babok, Vayikol Lechol Avoda, Vayidaber, it's called Avram Oela Bo'oznehem, Vayyi Re'u Ho'ana Shimaot. All of his people are terrified. They heard what happened. They heard that Avimelech, their leader, the king of Gerar, has taken a woman who turns out to have been an Ashes Ish, and Hashem came to him in a dream and told him, you're going to die for what you have done. And the people hear this report and they're terrified. Fine. Avram then calls in. Elimelech calls in Avraham. He gives back his wife, and he says to Avram, "Why didn't you tell me?" So Avram says to him, "You know why I didn't tell you? Because this country is thoroughly corrupt." He says, "Vayomer Avram ki amarti." I said to myself, "Rak ein yiras Elohim b'makom hazeh." This society is missing one thing. Yirah Shemayim, the Haraguni al Dvar Ishti. If I were to reveal that Sarah is my wife, that would be a death sentence to me. And the commentator, I think of Chaim Shmulevitz, says, what is the word rak? Why does it say the word rak? It's indicating that Gerar was the most advanced society in the world. If you go to Gerar, they had everything you can possibly imagine a country, a city would need. It was the metropolitan of the world. Every modern convenience, every sophisticated law and service was there in Gerar. Avram said, there's just one thing missing. One thing that's missing that you don't have here. And that is Yiras Elokim. Rak. Rak is the meat. It's the only thing that's missing. And with all of your sophistication and the conveniences and all of the laws, the social services, and all of the chesed that's been done in this society, it's meaningless. It will lead to Shvicha Astam. They say this idea is repeated often, very often in regard to Germany. Germany was viewed to be one of the maybe even the most sophisticated, cultured societies in the world has ever seen. And how could it possibly be they would come to go and murder 6 million plus Jews? How could it be such a thing? A culture, society? The answer is they may have had everything you can possibly imagine, but there was just one thing missing. Rak. Ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. And when there's no yiras Elokim, v'haraguni al devar ishti, there's nothing that will hold them back from committing the worst possible crimes. This is a very popular var, shot in the pasuk rak, ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. Okay, let's put that on the side for one moment. Question. This is a very good question. I saw this question, everyone asked this question, and the question is better than any answer you can give. How can you say rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh? The pasuk explicitly says, Vayiru ho'anoshim me'od. The Torah does not use the word me'od lightly. When Avimelech told the people, you know what happened to me? I went to sleep, Hashem came to me in a dream, and he told me that I'm going to die because this woman is an Eshes Ish. I'm going to die and we're all going to die. Hashem told this to me. They wake up in the morning, Vayiru ho'anoshim me'od. The whole society is in a state, what? Who else are they afraid from? Who's going to kill them? He's telling them that Adribayna Shahua, that's exactly the point. Who else would they be afraid of? Hashem said you're going to die, and everyone in this whole country is going to die because of taking an Eshesish. How can you possibly say Rak in Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh when the country is on lockdown, when people are in a state of terror, no one's going to work because they're afraid they're all going to die, they're all digging their graves. And Avram says, Rak in Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. What?
That's when the Yiras Hashem popped in.
Oh, so this is a very deep idea. So the answer is, what is the answer? I think the Or HaChaim talks about this also a little different. You have to see exactly how he says these words. Is that when the Yiras, there's no question, how often can you find, prove to me in Tanakh, where the whole society is in a state of Yiras Elokim. This is one of the only places in Nineveh, but for Enoch Nami, there are few and far in between. But here is one of them. Even by Nineveh, does it say the words Vayiru Hanashim Ma'od? Ma'od? How many times can you find such an intense? Yet Avram Avinu said, this is nothing. This is nothing. This Yiras Shamayim is a false Yiras Shamayim. Why? Because it only is Yiras Ha'oinish. It only is coming because you're afraid of punishment. You could have people walk around. That's probably the criticism we have in this society. I'm not saying anything bad. Is that today we live in a society where don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. All the don't do is because if you do this, you're going to be punished. Punishment. That's very good. It's a beautiful thing of Yiras Ho'enish. But when the Yiras Ho'enish is not built on a foundation of Yiras Ho'roimimus, of the awe and the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Yiras Ho'enish is nothing. Rak, it's zero. You're afraid you're going to die. Who's going to kill you? No one's touching you. No one's bothering you. Everything is wonderful today. Go out into society. Hashem's going to strike me down. It's nothing. So Yiras Elokim. The Yiras, true Yiras Shemaim is you don't sin to begin with. You don't try to take advantage. You have this, as Rashi says, Ach Sinai, Shabal Le'ir. When a guest comes to the city, the first thing you want to know is, who's this woman? It goes to show where your mind is. It goes to show that if I can get away with it, if I won't get punished, if no one's going to catch me for doing the sin, no one's going to catch me for doing the sin, I'm going to do the sin. If I get caught, I'm going to say chotasi avisi pashati.
Is there such a thing as morality independent of Hashem?
No. Independent? No, there's no such thing. L'chore not. No, there's no such thing as morality independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, and that's all part of this. It's a very deep idea. No. Therefore, this is the message of Avram. You live in a society, everything seems fine and good. See, this idea just deepens the idea of Rak. In this community, in this society, we have all the, it's cultured. Not only is it cultured, we have Yirah Shemayim also. I'll prove to you of Yirah Shemayim. There are laws. If you do an Avera, if you Mechal Shabbos, you go to jail. You go to jail. There are laws of punishment. If you don't have a filter, right, you don't have a filter on your internet, you go to jail. There's punishment for lack of Yirah Shemayim. Yeah, that's all very good and fine, but it's still not called Yiras Elokim. It's zero. Because the Yiras Elokim has to begin from the grassroots.
But isn't the essence of Yiras Hamayim really Yiras Ha'inish?
I mean, no. Exactly the point. It's exactly what Avraham Avinu was teaching the world.
What other Yira is
this? Yiras Ha'raymimus. You're afraid of Hashem just for the sake of being afraid, not depending upon punishment. Not dependent. Yiras Or, it's called Yiras in the Birchas Rosh Chodesh. We say yes for Yiras Shemayim twice. The one year is Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Ha'oinesh, and one year is Yiras Ha'roimimus. If the Yiras Ha'oinesh is not built on a foundation of Yiras Ha'roimimus, it's nothing. This is
the idea of Roimimus going to Ava more than Yira?
No, it's Yira, it's fear. Two different things. When you meet a great person, when you go, let's talk about the President of the United States. Right. If you would be given the opportunity to go and have the President of the United States, you go into the Oval Office and meet Obama, you wouldn't feel a certain sense regardless of what side of the political spectrum you find yourself on, you wouldn't feel a sense of Yiras Haremimus. This person, the power that he has, what he represents, the leader of the free world, not a Dover Posh. Anyone that would not have a sense of Yiras Haremus going into the Oval Office is a fool, is a total fool, regardless of what you think of the president's policies. Walking in the presence of government, the head of the United States, Yiras Haremus, a shaita otherwise. Tvarim Shutim. That's not love. You have love, you come into Obama, it's Yiras Haremus. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Yiras Haremus. This is the Yisoid. Yiras Hachet is very good. You have children, your children, Yeshiva Katana. They know, they get caught, they do an Aver, they don't do this, they don't do that, they're going to be punished. But if that Yiras Hachet is not built upon a Yiras Haremus, the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rak! In Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. This is an expansion upon the yisoid of what was popularly said about Germany, about you could have a society of culture and social services and all these good things. It's limitless. Okay, we're out of time. Have a wonderful Shabbos.